Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not interested in the lightning rod, nor am I all that interested in the lightning. It is the cause of the lightning that should cause every single Christian to ask, what is going on out there? This is Wretched Radio. When somebody who's, well, I wouldn't say I'm non-political or apolitical, but I'm not all that political. But when I feel something going on in the political realm, specifically when it involves the Jewish people, when it involves conversations about church and state relations, when it involves moral subjects like racism, I ask myself the question, what's brewing here theologically? And so it is, we're confronted with a real firestorm right now, courtesy of one Nick Fuentes. You're not familiar with him? Well, don't know where you've been, because even I am familiar with this fellow, social media maven, who is having a very powerful influence on what we would call the political far right. He's the lightning rod. The lightning, I think, are all of the issues that he is causing to bring to all of our attention. But I want to ask the question, what's causing this? What's going on behind this? If you haven't been following the Nick Fuentes story, I think that it is worthy of our consideration, not because it's a political issue as much as I believe it's a theological issue. To help us sort this, I need help. Did I just say that out loud? I'm a talk show host. I need help. Why? Because I've got both feet pretty much in the theological world, and I just kind of look over into the political realm. I'm kind of aware, but I am not nearly as knowledgeable on the subject as our very special guest. Perhaps you read her book, Shepherds for Sale, published by our good friends at HarperCollins. It is Megan Basham, who I had the chance to see at the MacArthur Memorial just a couple of months ago. She is, of course, at the Daily Wire, and she is one who understands both of these realms far better than I do. And so I asked Megan to join us to help us understand what's going on in the political landscape so we can understand what is going on theologically so that we as Christians can actually participate in this conversation from a Christian standpoint. Megan, thank you very much for joining us. Congrats on the massive success of your book, Shepherds for Sale. That thing was a juggernaut.
Yeah, it was, you know, for good or ill, it caused a lot of conversation.
Yeah, you were the lightning. You were the lightning rod and the lightning. Yeah, you were definitely it. All right, Megan, for those people who are not initiated in what's happening in Nick Fuentes' world and the fallout that has happened because of this fellow, with people that you certainly know, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, it seems that there's trouble in paradise on the political right. Set the table for us. What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, so for those who don't pay close attention and don't know who Nick Fuentes is, he is, I actually hesitate to characterize him as someone on the right, because he is for top-down authoritarianism. And I would say that the hallmark of conservatism is that we believe in decentralized power. We believe in individual rights. And someone like a Nick Fuentes is on what you might call the fascist part of the political spectrum. So there's always a debate about whether or not should this person even be put on the right. And I might challenge that. But what we do know is he's not an admirable fellow. Let's put it that way. So he's a young influencer. I think he's about 26 years old, maybe. He has a podcast, and the size of the audience of that podcast is one of those things that is, again, debatable. But what he talks about and what he advocates on that podcast is racial partiality, racial hatred. He will make comments. He says they're jokes. His fans say they're jokes. But you joke enough and some truth comes through about being a fan of Hitler, being a fan of Stalin. He thinks the Nazis had it right. He is very anti-Semitic. And he also has strange recommendations regarding things like pornography use and marry. Like he just recently said, well, when I turn 30, I'm going to marry a 16-year-old child bride. And so he will say offensive, bizarre things like
okay,
that.
Okay. Yeah. So he's a lightning rod. And yet there's lightning is getting attracted to that. Who's getting attracted to Nick Fuentes?
Well, and so that is the debate, Todd. So recently, Tucker Carlson did an interview with Nick Fuentes. And I would say before this, Nick Fuentes was, he was someone who was known, but was treated as very hands-off. And I think legitimately so. Tucker Carlson then decided to do an interview with Nick Fuentes. That interview was not what an interview with someone like Nick Fuentes should be. Now, as a journalist, I am someone who says, look, if it is a newsmaker, they are fair game for an interview. I don't criticize interviewing that person. But I watched the interview and it did not include hard-hitting questions. Again and again, Nick Fuentes would say things that were his typical provocative style. And Tucker Carlson did not push on him. He would say things like, I'm a huge fan of Stalin. And Tucker Carlson said, let's come back to this, and never did come back to it.
Now, I've tracked the Tucker Carlson rebuttal to the accusations that it was a softball interview claiming, hey, this is a big deal. What's happening, whether you want to call it far right, the fascist quarter, the Nick Fuentes Center, mm-hmm. it's being followed by a lot of young men. Mm-hmm. And Tucker, his response to the accusations, you kind of biffed it on this one, was to say, hey, I'm not looking to get into a fight. I'm looking to understand this demographic, why it is that a guy like Nick Fuentes is popular at all. That was his excuse. Your take?
Yes. And, you know, I'll be totally transparent that I know Tucker. I consider him a friend. And I disagree with that assessment because I think to understand what's drawing young men to the type of content that Nick Fuentes produces, you do actually have to ask those hard-hitting questions. You have to, when someone says, I'm a big fan of Stalin, there should be a record scratch and we should drill down on that. And we should go, okay, hold on a minute. Talk to me about that. Why are you a fan of Stalin? Why would you say something provocative like that? He murdered, you know, millions and millions of people. Are you a fan of that? And so those should be natural follow-up questions that would help you understand, okay, what are young men thinking these days? Because we shouldn't just approach this as, you know, any thought is legitimate. If they are having deeply unrighteous, sinful thoughts, then let's talk to them about that. And I think part of that interview is to acknowledge that fandom of Stalin or Hitler or Nazism, these are negative things. And to have any sort of moral coherence in the interview, you at least need to acknowledge that.
So why do you suppose Tucker, we've seen Tucker, he can go after people with mm-hmm. a Ginsu knife and just carve them up. Why didn't he do that with Nick?
You know, that's a really good question, and I don't know. So, you know, that's maybe one that I need to put to him that I think others have put to him. But the immediate reaction from people like my boss, Ben Shapiro, was no, we are not going to coddle Nazism and anti-Semitism in the conservative movement. And I think that is the right response, even as I acknowledge that there are problems with young men that are driving them to guys like Nick Fuentes.
So let's go there because mm-hmm. I think this is, from my perspective, this is where the story actually is. We don't know the numbers, but it's a force. Young men, we'll call them Gen Zs, maybe moving a little bit into the millennial generation. They dig this guy. Why? Why would they dig somebody who makes jokes about liking Stalin and Hitler? Because, Megan, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, a guy like that would have just been totally relegated and cast aside as a kook. Why are young men digging him?
Well, that's an important question. And I want to preface my response by saying I am still not totally convinced how big Nick Fuentes' audience is. So Tucker says it's large. I hear other people say it's large. Something that happened on X, the social media platform, just in the last couple of days has sort of thrown into question just how large is Nick Fuentes' audience, because Elon Musk outrolled a new feature where you can see where accounts are based. So it turned out that a lot of these very large Nick Fuentes fan accounts are based in places like Bangladesh, India, Nigeria, Thailand. So there was a question about, okay, how real is this and how much of this is an AstroTurf? So that is something to think about. But at the same time, I do want to say, because I have wondered, okay, where is this coming from? And I asked some pastors that I know pastor large churches. There are conflicting reports about how big Nick Fuentes' audience is. And they have told me, yes, they believe that some of it is AstroTurf, but they also know that young men in their churches are listening to him.
And I want to drill down on that. And so let's leave this as our cliffhanger. We don't know the number, but even if it's two, why in the world are young men somehow drawn to this type of talk, this type of rhetoric, this type of bravado, this type of nationalism, this type of perhaps racism? Megan Basham is our very special guest. If you've never checked out her book, Shepherds for Sale, we'll continue talking not just about the lightning rod, the lightning, but the cause of the lightning next on Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at FortisPlus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Storms a-brewing. This is Wretched Radio. Have you heard the rumblings on social media? People are agog. They're simply agog. Well, everybody is actually, because of one Nick Fuentes. This is a young man who is a social media influencer. To some degree, we don't know how vast his reach is. Nevertheless, he's followed by young men who are attracted to what, call it far right. It's not Christian rhetoric. Let's just leave it at that. Making comments about his love for Stalin and Hitler. The sexist things that he says. He's been called a misogynist. I've never listened to Nick because I'm not all that interested in Nick per se. I'm interested in his soul. My understanding is he's a professing Roman Catholic. Nevertheless, I'm more interested in why he is such a big deal and why he is causing such a hullabaloo these days. Megan Basham joining us from Daily Wire, from Shepherds for Sale. Megan, we want to drill down on this. Why are young men and why are young Christian men drawn to one Nick Fuentes?
Okay, so I actually want to draw on something that ironically Charlie Kirk said to Tucker Carlson in one of their final interviews. And he talked about how you don't want to feed the grievance of the young men. It's bad to feed a grievance mentality generally, but there are legitimate grievances. There is the fact that young white men in particular have been targeted as public enemy number one for a couple of decades now. So what they have been repeatedly told is that their sexual identity as men and their skin color as whiteness is public enemy number one. So they've been denigrated, and that's gone on for a really long time. And I think we have gotten to the point now where you have a demographic that has been so reviled for so long, they're now identifying with that reviling. If you're going to call me a white racist, if you're going to say that my skin color is privileging me in some way that is unfair, if you're going to denigrate me as, you know, part of my identity, if you're going to have HR departments all over the country who don't want to let me into their schools or don't want to hire me because I'm not the right demographic, eventually that is going to cause some cultural blowback. And I think that has happened. And the difficult thing is we have to say that while acknowledging that it's sin.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Hey, if you're going to label me that, fine, game on. Then I'll play that role because I'm not concerned about your critique because you've already slandered me enough. That's a fascinating perspective on this. Is a part of it, though, too, in addition to that, Megan, is it just, look, that's enough of this, man. I've had it with all of this. And they just want to fight back.
Yes, I think that is absolutely what's going on. And look, I think there are other economic factors playing into this. When you have a generation of young men, and we know that this is true statistically in sociological research, that they're not dating. They're not asking women out. They're not getting married. They're not having babies. So they're not becoming leaders of households. You have a generation of unmoored young men. And young men unmoored are typically attracted to destructive things. We have seen that throughout history. So
They want a rallying cry. They want to do manly things.
Right.
They're just aimed in the wrong direction. But Megan, there's so many factors and forces that I think are pressing in on young men. You're right. Just the calling all young white heterosexual males the problem. They are the cause for everything bad in America. That message it does start to impact a young man. But I also think though that postmodernism has set men and women against one another because we've just been told it's all about me. And when you think that you're the center of the universe, well, guess what? Everybody else becomes a threat. Everybody else is a danger. And I think in part, men think that women, they're kind of a threat. Women think men are a threat. And we pitted the genders, not just the skin colors, but the genders against one another. Critical race theory, postmodernism is playing a part of that. But I want to dive into, more importantly, the theology. These are young Christian men that are falling for this. as best you can tell, and you've been prudent in not wanting to give too much credit to Nick Fuentes for his reach, and I appreciate that. Who are these Christian young men? What are we talking about? Are they Roman Catholic, Protestant, Reformed? Who are these young men?
Well, I think to a large degree, you're seeing Catholics and Reformed Christians, I hate to say it, but that is true, who are being attracted to not just Nick Fuentes, but you might call them Nick Fuentes imitators. And those imitators who are cropping up on the right wear the mantle of pastor. And they claim to be pastors. They claim to be leaders of churches. So you're seeing these kind of podcasts and these influencers pop up. Their names aren't as well known, but they're out there. Guys like Joel Webbin, and I forget some of the other names. And so you have this Nick Fuentes impact that's spreading through the church through guys who are not like Nick Fuentes. They actually say, yeah, we're pastors. We're pastoring a church. We're basing this on biblical ideas, though I would say they are extremely twisted biblical ideas. So you brought up the enmity between men and women in this generation. And what's difficult is these guys will start with a strong kernel of truth. And that is that we have a deeply feminized culture where women are dominating, men are denigrated, toxic masculinity, which is, you know, the gift of maleness and masculinity and leadership that we need in our culture has been so denigrated that men feel like they have no place and they have no role. So that's all true. But then what they will do is they will take that kernel of truth and they will exaggerate and magnify it to something like, and I have experienced this personally, women shouldn't have social media platforms because that's teaching in public. So they have gone to this very legalistic, Pharisaical place that is not biblical. So if you'll say, okay, chapter and verse, why can't a woman have a Facebook account or, you know, an Instagram account? They can't answer that, but they will say, for example, that women are not to challenge men on their sin. So just recently, you know, Ali Beth Stuckey gave a speech at a women's conference to other women where she mentioned the problem of male use of pornography, that this is destructive, that it's destroying marriages, it's destroying opportunities to form relationships. And these men, like Nick Fuentes and his imitators, said, you should be in the kitchen baking a pie, not rebuking us for our sin.
Okay. All right. So you're saying reform circles, not all reform folks,
right,
and Roman Catholic. Now, I want to dive into both of these. We understand that in Reformed circles, there is a growing Christian nationalism as defined more along the lines of not just being patriotic, wanting a Christian America. But on the other side, are a growing number of Roman Catholics. Is there a Roman Catholic nationalism brewing?
I mean, I would say that there is an arm of Roman Catholicism that is part of that Christian nationalism movement. So, you know, certainly you're seeing that with the return to the Latin Mass. All of the things that I think I wrote about in Shepherds for Sale, the internal battles that are happening within evangelicalism, you see a mirror image of that in Catholicism. So, you know, there you see the Jesuits, who are a very liberal influence, have been for many decades within the Catholic Church. They're pushing for the same kind of things that you see in evangelicalism. They're pushing for women priests. They're pushing for LGBTQ affirmation. And so within Catholicism, you're seeing the same reaction to this liberalization, I think. And in some parts, it's been a healthy reaction and a needed correction. And then you have the overcorrection that has gone way too far.
All right. The young men who are in some way, shape, or form attracted to this bravado, to this tougher talk, to this masculine return sort of language, what is the church not saying to them that is causing them to say, I need to follow that, as opposed to, I want to follow my Savior? What are we missing in the church in addressing these young men?
So a huge part of this to me is the mainstream church, the mainstream evangelical and Protestantism, which has not given men the role that they should have as leaders. I think that's true, and I think it's real. So when you tell men that their only role as leaders is to serve their wives, that's not actually a leadership role. That's saying, okay, the way that you lead is simply to be your wife's servant. And I don't think that that is the biblical portrait of what male leadership is. And so we have a mainstream church that has not given men the role that is healthy for them, that is biblical for them. And so because of that, that is why I think we have had these extreme reactions. And you have then had these I would say, I'm trying to decide if I want to go as far as wolves in sheep's clothing or if they are just deeply misguided theologically, but they have stepped in and said, we will give you a masculine role. We will tell you that you can lead your nation and your churches and your homes. But when they do that, they are now doing that in an extreme and unbiblical legalistic way. So like I said, to the point where they're going, women should never speak outside the home. They are arguing for things like repealing the 19th Amendment. So women wouldn't have the vote. They're arguing for things like women should not work at all. So what I do, working from home, writing in free time, part time, they would consider that sinful. So that is to me where we have, how we got here is that we had a mainstream church that did not give men the biblical role and the biblical calling that they should have had. And so then we had these counterfeits come in who have created an extreme version of what is healthy masculinity.
Megan Basham, Shepherds for Sale, talking about us, talking about manhood and what perhaps we have been missing as the church, which is allowing and perhaps motivating young men to go looking for something more muscular elsewhere. But methinks she has even more to say about it. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. President Trump has designated Saudi Arabia a major non-NATO ally during the Crown Prince's recent White House visit, strengthening military and economic ties between the two countries. Trump announced the move alongside a historic strategic defense agreement and confirmed plans to sell F-35 stealth fighters to the Saudis. In return, the Crown Prince pledged to boost Saudi investment in America from $600 billion to nearly $1 trillion, roughly equal to the kingdom's entire sovereign wealth fund. Speaking of things that are somehow existing now, an abortion activist has finally published a long-promised children's book teaching five-year-olds that abortion is a superpower. You heard me right. Abortion is Everything is the name of the book, and it markets itself to kindergarten through third graders, explaining how killing preborn children gives humans the capacity to imagine the future and make choices that lead us toward the life we envision. And if you think that's absurd, the Washington Post, an actual newspaper that people pay money to read, has just celebrated a gay sheep fashion show hosted by the hookup app Grindr. Meanwhile, New Mexico's government is asking middle and high schoolers if they identify as two-spirit, a term LGBT activists invented in 1990, but mark it as ancient indigenous wisdom. The survey also asks 11-year-olds about their sexual history, their suicide plans, and their drug use. But here's the good news. Parents can opt out. Minnesota taxpayers just learned that they have been funding international terrorism. Under Governor Tim Walz, billions in welfare dollars were stolen through fake nonprofits and shell companies, with law enforcement sources confirming that some of those funds reached an al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group. The Feeding Our Future nonprofit alone turned a $3.4 million child nutrition program into a $200 million fraud machine. And in the city of Memphis, a judge blocked Governor Bill Lee's deployment of National Guard troops recently, despite the city's consistent ranking among America's most dangerous. The federal-state partnership had already led to nearly 3,000 arrests and seized 453 illegal firearms, but Memphis Democrats complained it was overburdening the criminal justice system. Apparently, arresting criminals is now considered a problem. 63% of those in the state of Tennessee approve of the deployment. Meanwhile, New York's mayor-elect insists 35,000 officers are sufficient, even as the police commissioner warns that crime reductions happen against all odds with a justice system that prioritizes offenders over victims. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, is the church partially, or maybe even more than that, to blame? This is Wretched Radio. The rise of muscular masculinity, there's no question it is happening. It appears in many ways it is misdirected. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something about it that we shouldn't understand. Just because we see a guy like Nick Fuentes, who is popular to some degree, influencing young men to be tough talkers, to sound pretty sexist, to sound rather racist, love Adolf Hitler and Stalin, you got to ask yourself the question, all right, why is that happening? Why are young men, Christian young men, so attracted to that? I want to know, not because I want to have a political conversation about it. That's interesting enough. I want to know so that we can have a church conversation about this. What is the church failing to do that is allowing its young men to go sniffing elsewhere for something that just feels downright more masculine? Megan Basham, Shepherds for Sale, Daily Wire, joining us to discuss these young men and what it is. The interest that I have, Megan, all of this stuff between Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro, all really intriguing stuff. Nick Fuentes, kind of an interesting character, but to me only in as much as he is the lightning rod that is causing the attraction to him. I want to know what's causing that. According to you, you just said it's because the church has failed to teach correctly about masculine leadership. I've heard this, but here's where it gets tricky though, Megan. Mm-hmm. You just said that men are told that the way to lead is to serve. Well, that's not totally wrong.
Right, right.
Okay, so this is where the door gets cracked open, because that's not wrong. And yet, it's really not leadership either, because leadership means stepping in front. Leadership says, this way, team. Leadership says, I'm going to block. I'm going to protect. I'm going to guide in this. I'm even going to decision make in this unit. It's not leadership. So, in your opinion, Megan, how should the church be talking about male leadership, whether it's in the home, the church, or in the country?
Well, you know, one of the first things that I think of is that a leader needs to actually lead. So the idea that what you do is consult with your wife and then do what your wife says, that's not actual leadership. And I'm going to say, as a woman, it's not what we need. One of the things I love about my husband and I'm so grateful for is that I have the comfort of knowing and the security of knowing that he's ultimately going to take ownership for where our family goes and what direction that we head. And that is the real leadership that women need. And so often what we see in the church is this encouragement from the pastorate to almost tell husbands to submit to their wives, as if that is what servanthood is, submission. And of course, we can see from Christ and from his example that that is not what servant leadership is, because Christ wielded authority.
All right. This is where there are opportunities on both sides. So you've got pastors who are basically, as you stated, saying, husbands, submit to your wives, period. Having said that, you would affirm a man is a fool who does not consult with his best source of wisdom, his wife. Would you
yes.
agree? Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay, so then you've got people more on the other side of the spectrum who are saying, no, leadership doesn't consult at all. Leadership just dominates and does, and the woman should happily follow. So you can see where there's an opportunity for there to be division on the issue and extremes on the issue. So perhaps the moral of the story, because we could spend the next 7 days talking about the issue of male leadership, what it looks like in the home, spiritual leadership. Let's perhaps leave this particular contributor to the Nick Fuentes sensation to church. Have you sorted this? Have you thought through what male leadership looks like? What are young men hearing? What are the older men hearing? Do you have the biblical perspective? Are you giving a correct, balanced approach to this? Are you explaining leadership and service simultaneously, or is it one or the other? In other words, Megan, I think moral of the story is we conservative evangelicals need to be talking more about our definition and understanding of male leadership. All right.
Yeah.
Let's leave that one just for a moment. That's one of the contributors why a guy like Nick Fuentes is so popular. Theologically, biblically, is there anything else in your opinion that the church is failing to address for young men that is leading them to a guy like Nick Fuentes?
Yes, the scourge of pornography.
So,
I mean, we know that it is a massive problem. And because I don't think you can look at Nick Fuentes in a vacuum. There are other influencers similar to him who peddle a similar message, someone like the Tate brothers. So Andrew Tate is a similar figure attracting young men with a very similar message. And they're pornographers. So, you know, Nick Fuentes has joked about his pornography use. I hate to say this, I don't watch him, but my understanding is correct. He's actually been caught on live streams with pornography in the background of whatever he was streaming. So we know that that is a part of his life. Let's put it that way. Same thing with the Tate brothers. They were actual pornographers. So these are the people, these are the young men that are drawing the attention of other young men. And I think part of that enmity between men and women that you're talking about is so informed by pornography and our entirely porn-drenched culture that it's impossible to get away from that, because I do think it breeds a hatred of women and it breeds a hatred of self, that you should feel shame and you should feel guilt, but they're not being told to deal with that shame and guilt in a scriptural way. So instead, it's just developing this ongoing despisal of women.
All right. Now, in fairness though, Megan, the young men who are on in a more conservative Protestant mm-hmm. denomination, pornography isn't being promoted there. They would say, oh, pornography is definitely wrong. Now, that doesn't mean they ain't looking at it, but they would affirm, no, pornography isn't ideal. It's not the best. In fact, it's actually bad. Why would a guy like Nick or the Tate brothers attract those guys who would say, I don't agree with your position on pornography?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for one thing, we have to acknowledge that the church does not nearly talk about pornography to the level that pornography has infected our culture. I mean, you know, how often do you hear about it? Like maybe once a year, twice a year. It's not something that I hear talked about that often, whereas the amount of it that has drenched our culture is almost impossible to quantify. So that's part of the problem. And why I think they're being attracted to a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate anyway is, one, some of those imitators that I talked about who pretend to be pastors, they will say things like, yes, you're watching porn, but that's at least sinning in the right direction in our LGBTQ dominated culture. That's a thing
no.
that I have heard. You're at least
no.
sinning in the right direction.
No, you're kidding me. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking about the pornography issue, because you're right. I don't think the churches talk about it as much as we must. I'm afraid it's not the most pleasant subject for a pastor to preach about on a Sunday morning. I get that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking about these issues. What pornography does, so these young men, even in what we would call, let's just say conservative, some reformed circles, they're consuming this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It objectifies women. It makes them, it degrades them. And so now for a guy like one of these social media influencers to talk about patriarchy and masculine leadership and women shouldn't have the right to vote or have a social media platform, that's not a big step at all, because pornography has
right.
already given them that mindset. So I might conclude from this, It's the porn, what porn has done to them more than what Nick Fuentes has indoctrinated them with. He just allows them to extend their thinking about women. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know that you can separate those two things, the pornography addiction that is so rampant among young men and that is also pushing them to not ask out women. They're not pursuing right. women for dates and for marriage because right. they have this outlet that we wouldn't have had in eras past. So I think that is part of the problem, and that's isolating them further. And that isolation and that guilt and that shame, all of these things lead them to a dissident fringe voice like a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate.
And if the church isn't aware of it, it doesn't mean that you have to be listening to every political podcast and every social media influencer. But to fail to be aware of this, I think at this time, Megan, is a really big mistake for the church. However, you might have more bullets in your gun, but I think that there is one that needs to be discussed when it comes to the issue of a guy like Nick Fuentes and why it's causing so much fracturing on the political right. And I think you might perk up for this one, Megan. Feminism.
Yeah.
Feminism and its influence. It is, we think of it historically. Well, that happened way back then with the right to vote. Oh no, feminism is alive and well, and it is crushing young men with our special guest, Megan Basham, here on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we share the gospel and equip students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match, up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you. feminism? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've studied feminism. Maybe you had to take that course at university, the history of women's rights, and it feels like a thing of the past. Oh, it ain't. Feminism is alive and well, and it is my opinion that it has permeated every sector of society, and it is now bearing fruit, where now women increasingly are the majority in the workplace, getting university degrees. The parity that was offered to women has now been exceeded, where it's now women having more influence on institutions than men. And I think we are feeling it. Megan Basham joining us here on Wretched Radio to discuss the Nick Fuentes firestorm, but more importantly, what's causing it, so that the church can identify, okay, here's what's going on out there. Why are they seeking somebody, a social media influencer that has some wacky ideas, and they're not being informed at the church? And so, Megan, we talked about, for instance, you rightly identified that the church isn't speaking about male leadership in the home, the church, or in the nation. And so these guys come along and it's like, hey, we gotta lead. We've got, men want to climb that mountain. We're not giving them that mountain in the church. Hmm. So they're finding it elsewhere. But let me, before we move into the other reasons for this, Megan, here's why I think that is. You've got guys who are wanting to make sure that men aren't jerks. And so they talk about being servant leaders in the home. And that, I don't think that phrase is wrong, servant leader. But how they tend to define it is, it's just acquiescing, never really forcefully leading. And so on the other side of the spectrum, you've got a much more muscular patriarchy, which doesn't serve as much as just lead. Well, it needs to be servant leadership. I think the issue, Megan, is, and this is an opportunity, somebody should write this book. It's this zone, what it does look like. Nobody's been able to articulate that well. I think that's a problem for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd love to give an example of why I think the church has failed in this issue and how it helped sort of create the opening for a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate. A few years ago, I watched the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is, you know, the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., arguably one of the most conservative. And he said that he felt that the church was suffering from female leadership, which just kind of blew my mind. I went, I don't know how you can see that. But he then said he went through every role in his church and tried to figure out where biblically he would be allowed to replace a man with a woman. And if he could, he would appoint a woman in that position instead. So they went through all their staff roles and said, what could a woman do? And so they were prioritizing female leadership in the church. Why? When our model is masculine leadership in the church, which is not to say that women aren't given a role. We are given a role as women of teaching other women, which is an incredible privilege. Our biggest privilege is shaping our children. That is how God has given to women primarily to shape the church, in shaping our children and raising them. And so this pastor was sort of denigrating that by saying, no, instead, we need to have women in formal leadership positions to such a degree that I'm going to go through our entire staff roster and try to figure out where maybe scripture will allow me to place a woman, which is a really weird way of thinking about this. And so that to me is emblematic of the sort of problem that we've seen. It was like the president of the SBC was saying, well, I'm gonna try to abide by the very strict letter of the law of Paul saying I don't permit a woman to teach and that we're not to have women in these positions in the pastorate, but I'm gonna try to fudge it as much as possible. So he was failing to understand the distinctives between men and women that are encoded in us from the beginning of creation.
Well, I think that's to my point. It's like, okay, and it's not like there's nothing that we should ignore everything that they're saying about previous attitudes generationally. We've got the courage to do that. But that's an example of being more like, no, it's not about males leading. We don't want males leading. You know, like, well, we do, but shh, we'll kind of keep it on the down low here. All right. And then again, on the other side, it's like, come on, dudes, let's lead this thing. And this balance of the two is simply not been articulated. I think we need somebody, write a book, be a voice that says, this is what male leadership looks like. That does involve being a servant to others without totally neglecting your ability to actually lead. So if somebody's looking for a book idea, here it is right here. You can just, this zone right here. All right. So that was one of the reasons that you've concluded that there is a hole in what the churches are teaching young men that's seeking them to fill it elsewhere. You talked about pornography. Let's get to feminism. How has feminism influenced and perhaps gotten into the psyche of young men in such a way that it is causing at least, it's not an insignificant movement. However big it is, we don't know. But it's enough that it's loud right now in social media. How has feminism influenced these men that has allowed them to follow a guy like Nick Fuentes? And what is the church not saying about it that allows them to do it?
Well, I think everywhere we look, we can see statistical evidence of how women are progressing in the culture and the economy at a faster rate than men. In fact, men are falling behind. Women are moving forward. In many large metropolitan areas now, this is a fact, young women out-earn young men. And that's a problem because young women instinctively want a provider and a protector. That is hardwired into us. It's what we want. So when you've had a culture that has invested in making sure that young women excel and young men don't, you create this disconnect. And that does create hostility and it creates resentment. And that's where we are right now. We have people, Nick Fuentes, Andrew Tate, these imitators I discussed, they are exploiting the resentment. That would be, to me, the perfect definition of what their shows are.
Yeah. See, I think even just consider the workplace, for instance. There were laments that masculine leadership was just too cut and dry. Hey, dude, knock it off. You're not performing. Get your numbers up. Well, that was considered not sensitive enough. So now with more women leading, the pendulum has swung another way. Hey, we're not so worried about goals. We don't have things to accomplish here. We just need to be warm and friendly and supportive and encouraging with one another. And whatever you do, don't ever criticize. And so men just, I think, instinctively find that like, okay, that's just, and that plays in to their attitude about life. So I think it's happening at work. I think it's happening at university. We see it in the political realm. We hear it from our, and it's not just the female leaders, it's male leaders too, that we need a softer, gentler, more sensitive sort of approach to everything. And the problem again, Megan, it's not that there isn't some truth in that, but it's the pendulum. That's all it looks like. And men just, they don't dig that. So the question then is, how can the church offer a corrective to that?
Right. It's the HRification of the entire society.
That's a great way to put it.
I think that's what we've seen. And it is very female dominated. And, you know, you mentioned some of sort of the positive female cultural instincts like togetherness and working as a team. But there's also some pretty toxic and negative ones, which is like the way that women deal with conflict is, you know, to socially freeze people out. And we've seen that in cancel culture, whereas, you know, the male approach to conflict is much more straightforward. And I would say that, you know, it can be a lot more positive thing in the workplace because you can just handle it and move forward and men forget about the argument. Whereas women, we kind of fester on it. We'll make you pay.
It's feelings, more feelings driven. It's not without rationality, but men tend to be more rational in their approach to things. I think the Kavanaugh confirmation was a really good demonstration of that. Hey, she felt that this happened and that is enough. Do we have the evidence needed to boot the guy? Didn't appear that we did, but that's rational. This is emotive. And this now, the emotive is dominating the rational. And I just think that men are going, we just have had enough of this and they're attracted to the tough guy. So with that, Megan, we've concluded, we've got to be taking a look and having a better conversation about male leadership, about pornography, and about feminism and its impact so that we can identify these, well, assaults on young men and show them a better way. I think we need to model it for them. And we need to be discipling them into these roles, having them actually do it. Don't just keep telling them about it. Actually install them into positions where they can be growing in leadership skills and they can actually apply their Bibles rightly. Megan, thank you. You've helped to bring some clarity to a big, messy situation. And did you notice we didn't really talk about the political stuff as much with what's going on?
We didn't. I came prepared. So next time.
We'll do that. Check out her book, Shepherds for Sale. I'm telling you, it's like one page after another is just jaw-dropping. Oh, Megan, I'm super grateful for you. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Same to you, my friend. Thank you.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.